This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, Saturday is always, the sun is brighter, everything's brighter, it's a beautiful day.
And now the sun is getting hotter. We turn on that hot switch and it stays like 1,000 degrees until like November.
I'm trying to ignore that. I'm trying to pretend like that ain't even happening.
I'm not wishing it. I'm not making it happen. It's the way nature works.
I'm just going with the flow, you know?
Yeah, but it could be like snowing or sleeting or something like that, and that's no good.
That's right. So we had a choice. We took the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
So here we are, mid of summer. It's hot, but, you know, it's still a pretty day out.
That is true. Anytime that you can sleep in a little bit, get up and still kind of go about your business, you know, casually here and there, it's always a nice day. There is something really that's different about Saturday than any other day.
But what's really different is with this virus deal, the things you can and cannot do.
Oh.
And it's just amazing to me, you know, places we don't go anymore. We don't do these things we've always done. People don't go out to dinner together. You just don't do those things.
Yeah.
And when people go out to dinner, you know, you're 10 foot away from everybody or 6 foot, and you're still worried, you know. The people wear the mask into the restaurant. They take them off to eat. The waitresses have masks on in most places. What a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it just, I don't think it's worth it to go through all that.
There's a lot of places that we've seen that are still open for just takeout. Or they've got like a particular dining section that's open, but not all of the tables you can sit at. They're closing them by like complete areas, not just like one table here or one table there. Entire sections
are
closed.
And a lot of the places have opened. Then one of the waiters has come up with this virus and they have to close.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have opened. Now they're all closed. So. It's just something I never thought I would live to see.
Yeah, yeah. It may be kind of like a start and stop thing for, I don't know, a little while. I know some cases are going up. I forget what the Texas numbers were, but it seems like they went up by pretty, like one of the days earlier this week was a really, really, really big day for virus growth.
Yes, it was. And the other thing is a lot of the people who went back to work had to use child care again. And in Dallas, yesterday, there were 17 cases at a child care place of little children getting the virus.
Really?
Yes, and it's all because the parents had to go back to work. It just takes one parent to have that, and it will infect, you know, people for 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
And that's so sad that those little children now have it because some parent had it, and gave it to their little children, and then they went to preschool and gave it to 17 little children.
Wow, that's a shame.
Yeah, it really is. I really hate that. You know, I'll be glad when all this is over and when we're all safe again and everybody can do the things they've always done.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Gosh, I'm hoping so. And when they're talking about school in August, they said in Fort Worth and Dallas, half the people have opted to go online. They're scared, and they're not going to go back to school. They said half of their kids are going to go online and not go back to school right now.
Really?
And they gave them the option. You can either do online school or go in person. And a lot of people said, no, we're, you know, it's just too risky right now. We're going to keep them home, you know, at least through September.
You know, I wonder if they can do, you know, how that's going to work. If, you know, some kids are in the classroom and then some are home. I wonder if it would be better if everybody just kind of like did the same thing and the process was uniform across the board. I don't know if, you know, a little here, a little there is going to work. I'm not sure.
I'm not either. I don't know how this thing's going to work. I know my grandchildren, you know, we did the last 2 months of their school online. And it's hard doing it online.
Yeah, I would imagine that's a struggle technically. And, you know, with people going back to work, can they do that? Can they still do that?
I don't know how they're going to manage, because a lot of people have to go back to work, and then their little kids are going to be home trying to do schoolwork. A mother or dad, somebody's going to have to stay home with them.
Yeah, and not everybody can.
That's right. So it's going to be a mixed up mess until this is over. Of course, it may be gone by August. You know, they've got this one drug they found out, you know, that does work. It slows it down. It's not only promising, they've tried it and it works on people that are really, really sick.
Yeah.
But it doesn't cure it.
Oh, it doesn't cure it? I didn't hear all the details. I knew that there was a new drug that looked really promising, but I didn't know the details.
And they said that on people that were severe, it really helped them, and they didn't die, so that was important. But and it helped, but it didn't say it was a cure-all.
Hmm.
Well, anyway, I feel sure there's going to be a vaccine or something, surely by August.
Yeah, yeah, it looks really good. So hopefully that'll. And I also saw that they had said, and they had ran some. Apparently, there was a number of doctors and researchers that had run some scenarios for, like, the virus progression. And they were saying that if everybody wore a mask, like everybody, not some here or there, but everybody, in 5 weeks, the virus could be completely wiped out.
I think it should be mandatory then.
Yeah, and all it takes is one person. You know, if everybody...
It just takes one person.
Mm-hmm.
And they can expose, you know, hundreds of people in 1 hour.
You know, exactly. And, you know, you don't even think about, you know, how many people you come in contact with, you know, just on a daily basis, on a normal routine, you know, just passing by somebody.
That's right. And that's all it takes. And, you know, that place, I don't know if we talked about it or not, up in Missouri, Supercuts or whatever it was, you know, those two women had it, and they exposed 140 people, and they've tested every one of them, and nobody came down with it because both sides had a mask on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The people that had it had on a mask, and the patrons had a mask, and it saved them.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
It is, because out of 140, nobody got it. And that tells me that on both sides, everybody's got to have a mask on.
Yeah, yeah.
And being macho, all it can do is get you really sick.
That is true. that's not going to pay off.
Is it worth it?
Yeah. We had seen somebody on the, I think it was on the news, that there was this guy, and I don't have all the details because it's been a couple of weeks, but there was this dude who was a bodybuilder. So he was, you know, huge, just big muscles everywhere. So he had a selfie picture before, you know, big, all buffed up and all that. And then he got the coronavirus, was in the hospital for a while. And then they took another selfie after. And he was like this thin, frail, you know, sickly looking person. I mean, the before and after pictures were shocking. It was enough to really kind of jar you into reality. Like, man, this is some, you don't mess with this.
Isn't that amazing? That's why it hits men so much worse than it does women, and we don't know why. There must be something in their antibodies that can't go past that virus, because they're the ones that are really getting sick.
Yeah, yeah. And some really, really fit people, healthy people, it doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, it seems like if you've got any underlying things, those men that got sick, I mean, some of them were in the hospital 30 or 40 days.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And one guy got a bill for $1 million.
Wow, That's insane.
$1 million. They're out of their mind.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
No, that's...
I can't even fathom send him a bill for $1 million.
Yeah, my guess is he probably won't pay that one.
No, I don't think he will. I don't think he even try. Yeah. He'll say, you know, I'll give you $100,000 or $50,000 or something, and that's it.
Yeah, we'll settle on this somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, somewhere it won't be $1 million.
Yeah, mad man. You know, it's a scary thing. I know a lot of things, you know, open up around Memorial Day, and a lot of people went out, and now we're seeing these cases spike like at shockingly high rates. It's spreading very quickly again. It's what it sounds like.
That's exactly what's happened because people wouldn't stay home. They didn't distance themselves. You know, if they'd been at the lake, they'd have been fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't go to the local swimming pool and put everybody neck to neck or something and think they're not going to get it.
Yeah, yeah. But even if things do open up and things don't shut down again and everything gets, you know, back up to, quote, business as usual, even if everybody wears a mask, it would still do some good as far as the, you know, cutting down the spread of things. People can still get out and do stuff. Just wear a mask, and it would be, from what it sounds like, it would be fine.
And stay away from your neighbor. In other words, don't go to something where it's just 2 foot away.
Yeah.
Go to things that you're 5 or 6 foot away.
Yeah, yeah. Have
space. Because they're saying if you're 6 foot away, have on a mask, you're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think this is going away anytime soon.
Well, I'm hoping August.
Hopefully.
That's my date. August, it's going to go away.
Did you just decide that, or is that based on something?
I just decided that. Oh. August is the deadline. Virus, you've got to go.
Oh, that's the best. Wow. This is your money.
Well,
I
think that'll work.
I hope you're right. If you have that kind of magic powers, then I'm telling you, you have a whole new line of work coming your way if you can wish things to happen like that.
If wishing makes it possible, right?
I know, right? We're going to see. I'm going to write this down. Faye Bagby says August. Got it. It's now on record.
Okay. That's right. It's gone. Y'all forget about it after that.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And don't forget, your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. People can go there and find all kinds of information, read testimonials about people who have invested in life insurance policies, been through the program, kind of get an investor's point of view about how things work. They can see real numbers of money that people have made. And so it's all about growing your wealth. So that you can retire happy, wealthy, early, if possible, or if you want to. Some people don't want to retire early. They like working, but it's nice to have the option at least. It's, you know, you've got to be able to grow your money so that you can have options instead of saying, man, I'm just going to have to work until my fingers fall off.
That's exactly right. And another thing we never do mention, and the Better Business Bureau reminded me the other day, we are an accredited business with them. And we've been with them since 2003.
Really?
And, they sent me a little note. Faye, do you tell everybody that you're an accredited business with the Better Business Bureau? And they do statistics for us. They tell us how many calls we've had, how many people have inquired about us. And I don't ever even think about that.
Wow, I didn't know they had all that information.
They do. And they send out a chart every month. And it'll tell you, you know, this month, this is how many people inquired. This month you had this many inquiries. The whole deal.
Wow. Well, we never talk about that. Congratulations.
Yeah, I never even think about it. And they sent me out a little deal, and they say, do you have your decals? Do you have your deals that say accredited business on them? They said, you know, you can put our logo on your business stuff and say you are an accredited business with the Better Business Bureau. But we don't ever do that. I don't ever even think to put that on anything.
Wow. Well, it's because you're busy making money.
I am busy making money, and I don't think about all these ins and outs and things.
That's pretty cool, though. We never talk about that. Congratulations. That's great to be such a high-regarded business to be associated with the and accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Awesome. Congratulations.
That's right. So that's pretty good. But anyway, people, like you said, people need to grow their money. If they're not growing their money, they're not going to have enough money to retire. Yeah. And that's what we do. We help people make enough money that they can retire. People with us, you know, they're earning an average right now of about 24%. Now, that's if you're fully invested. That's not if you're sitting here half cash and half invested. Mm. That's when you invest regularly. The people have got an average of 24%.
That's pretty significant.
It is significant. We also had another maturity this week. It was $1 million.
Wow.
And so a lot of people are going to get paid on that. This was the Polk policy. And he had stage 4 esophageal cancer, and it had spread to his lungs.
Ooh.
So $1 million, and the people made, let's see, 13.5%, almost 14% on that policy.
Wow. That's amazing. That's fantastic.
Yes, yeah, so a lot of people are going to be happy. A lot of people, you know, had invested in it. So another one, and now we must be up to about over $9 million for the year in maturities.
Wow, that is huge.
Yeah, it's over $9 million for the year.
And we're still in June.
Yeah, we're in June. So this year we're going to have, it looks like, a lot of maturities, according to 21st Services. 21st Services said we will have 12 times more maturities this year because of the virus, because people with cancer are not getting the cancer treatment that they should even.
It sounds like they're making these amazing predictions, and it sounds like, you know, I haven't, you know, kept track, you know, specifically, but it sounds like, from what you're saying, that the actual maturities that are happening are in sync with what they're saying, is that there's going to be more. It sounds like you're already seeing those.
Well, that's what they're saying, and so I'm waiting to see how many we're going to have for the year, but it does look like we're going to have an awful lot, you know, for the year, and a lot of people are going to be able to reinvest, and that's what it's all about, is reinvesting your money every time, and your goal is to have enough where you can retire happy and early. And not be retiring at 80. Nobody wants to retire at 80, I don't think.
No.
And we have several people that have called in the last 2 weeks. Either their companies have sold, or they're going to take early retirement because they're going to give them a package, you know, a payout package. So we've had several calls like that. And then we've got a lot of our clients are adding money to their portfolios right now because they've had a lot of maturities, and they want to have more maturities, so they're bringing more money over to have more maturities, which is a great idea.
Do you find that there's an increased urgency with what is happening right now, not only with current investors, but new investors wanting to get on board, and with people who have been with you for a while? Maybe, you know, hey, I want to get a little bit more aggressive with my investments, and so here's a little bit more. Let's get in more policies. Do you find an urgency right now, or?
I think so. We have a lot more people calling to invest right now. Saying, you know, we think we've got too much in the stock market. We think it's too risky right now, and we want to get some money out of the stock market and put it with you. And so that's been, we've had lots of calls, more than ever, than we've ever had before, people calling and saying, you know, I want to invest. I want to get some money out. And usually a lot of ours, as you know, it's just word of mouth. Our clients recommend us because they're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And but the last ones weren't even from our clients. These were just, you know, from hearing us on the radio.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. These last five were actually off the radio. They'd heard us and called in and, you know, told me their story about, you know, they thought they had too much in the stock market. They were worried about it. And one guy said, I've already lost $100,000.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, he wanted to get his money out, and he was tired of that, and he wanted to do something else.
Yeah, yeah. Do something else. I would say that's probably what a lot of people are saying is that, you know, hey, and I know we talk about this all the time, is that, you know, people are in the stock market for a number of years, either losing money hand over fist, or they're just not making the kinds of returns that they were hoping for. And so they're looking for other alternatives. That's in a normal situation. But now I would imagine probably people are saying, whoa, we need to pay hyper attention to this because bad stuff is happening to our portfolio. So I would imagine probably now is one of those trigger events that we talk about all the time that makes people actually get up and say, hey, I gotta reassess the situation. Do you find a lot of that happening right now?
I do. I find a lot of people that are reassessing the stock market. They've been in a long time. They're wanting to get out and do something different. They're thinking maybe there's a different way to do it. And they know that we do conservative investing. So, you know, they're interested in what we have to say, the way we invest. So I always send them first to the website, tell them, look at the website, look what people are making, read about us, study about us, and then if this is what they want to do, we'd be glad to help them. And then they've, you know, called back and said, yes, that's what I want to do.
So with several people listening and kind of trying to understand this for the first time, you know, you said that you've had some new people coming who have heard the show before. And so they're saying, OK, well, what is this? This is a life insurance policy that people invest in. And so it's very different from the stock market. So for somebody who's just new to the concept, how does a life insurance policy turn into something that people can invest in and actually retire from?
Well, these are people that have cancer. First, it's got to have cancer. And so then they need to sell their life insurance policy because they are ill. They have stage 4 cancer, and they're calling us. So then we look at the policy. If it looks like a good policy, we get all the information, the health information. We find out how many doctors they've been to, what treatments they've had, if they're doing, you know, this home stuff that's not good for them. If they've been to Mexico, or what their situation. If we decide to buy the policy, then our clients are going to make the difference between what we paid for the policy and what the face amount is. So they've got a good profit angle there. So that's what we do. We buy insurance policies on people that have cancer. Our clients make the difference. If it's a 24-month policy, they're going to make 24%. If it's 12 months, they're going to make 12%. It's 1% a month when you buy a policy. When you invest in it, that's what we pay. It's 1% a month, and you know in advance. This is what I love about this investment. You know everything about it in advance. You know everything about the person. You know how much the policy is, what your investment is, what your risk is. If it goes over, you know everything about it in advance. And when you're in the stock market, you don't know any of this. You don't know what you're going to make. You don't know how much you'll get back, if you'll get your original investment plus profit, or you know what you'll get. But this, you know, it's an investment in a life insurance policy. You know you'll get paid. It's not us paying you. It's getting paid out of the life insurance proceeds. When the person passes away, the life insurance company pays off on the policy. And that's how you get paid, and that's how you make a profit. And that's why it's a conservative investment.
So it's important to stress also, you know, kind of like you're saying, these are stage 4 cancer. They're not just any stage 4 cancer, though. It's obviously very specific just to start with. It has to be stage 4. But beyond that, you're actually examining every single policy that is stage 4 that comes across your desk, that comes available to bid on it and hopefully purchase. So it's not like you're just taking any old policy that comes across the desk. You've actually turned down some stage 4 cancer policies for various reasons, right?
Well, sometimes it'll say it's in remission. It'll say no sign of cancer. If it says that, we're not buying it. You know, we don't want something that's going to take us 10 years to get paid. We want something that the people are 74 years of age or younger. We don't want any seniors. We don't want someone 80. I don't want anyone 90. A lot of people do this. We're not doing that. We've already have done that. And we know what we're doing. We know that we want someone between ages of 30 and 74. And most of ours, if we look at them, I go back and look, they're usually in their 50s. Most of the people that get cancer are 45, 55 years old, sometimes 60. But most of them are in their 50s when they get terminal cancer.
That is really
young. So that's
young.
Usually the age of people we're working with.
Wow. Wow, that's younger than you would think, you know?
It's a lot younger than you would think. The guy that just died, he happened to be 70. Esophageal cancer. Well, all of these have a different kind of cancer. And the ones that we, you know, pancreatic cancer, stomach cancer, the ones that we really like are the ones that we know, you know, how they act. We know that these cancers, you know, you're not going to survive them. And the other one that we had, Mr. Albrook, this is one we just got the money in. He was 63. And he had brain cancer. And it was inoperable. Well, we bought that right away because if you can't operate on the brain cancer, that doesn't give you any extra time. If it's operable, it may give you, you know, 18 months or something like that. But we knew that his was inoperable, and, of course, it did come in early because of it being inoperable. It came in 9 months early.
So it was really, really aggressive.
It was aggressive. And, you know, we've done a lot of colon cancer this year, a lot of lung cancer, and, of course, breast cancer. You know, we do a lot of those. But these are cancers that we know that we've done over and over again. And if you've done them over and over, you know how they're going to act, and you know that that they're not going to make a recover from these particular kinds of cancer.
So
not if it's stage four. Now, if it was stage one or two, they might make it. They might live 5-10 years if it's stage one. But we're talking about severe cancers. We're talking about, you know, end-of-life cancers is what we really buy.
And so when you say like 18 to 24 months and you say 1% a month, explain that a little bit more. What does that mean, and what does it mean for profit for people?
Okay, your profit, we figured it 1% a month. If it's 24 months, you're going to make 24%.
All right.
So that's 1% a month.
So, and that 24 months, that's how long that the doctors and the medical professionals think that that person who's diagnosed, who is selling their policy, that's how long they think they have.
That's exactly right. They're saying this person's got 24 months, and they may be wrong. It may come in early, or it could be they could be wrong the other way, and it could come in late. You know, we never know which way. But 21st Services, Fasano, LSI, the people that we really rely on, have gotten better and better. As you know, 3 or 4 years ago, 21st, we were all saying, your LEs are not very good. They're not coming in like we think they should. They shut down for 30 days and redid everything about the way they do a policy, the way their LEs are written. They redid all their computers, and they're really good at it now because they're usually spot on. They're usually not wrong. You know, they might be a month or two or three over, but usually it's not more than that. And some of them, you can't judge. In spite of everything you do, it may go over, and then it may come in early. Because cancer, you can't always judge the way cancer is going to act.
So let's run some numbers real quick, because you mentioned a couple times that, you know, policies may come in early. So say somebody has a $100,000 investment. Say they expect it to be a 24-month policy, which means a $24,000 profit on that policy. So what if you take this 24-month policy, and what if it comes in 18? Does that mean people make 18% because it didn't go the full 24?
No, they still get the 24. It doesn't matter. The contract says you're going to get 24% when this pays out. Doesn't matter when it pays out. You're going to get 24%. So it doesn't matter if it's early, it's 24. If it's on time, it's 24. If it's late, it's 24. Minus any premiums you might have paid.
We should also point out that when we talk about 24-month policies, it's worth noting that they actually expect this policy, in this example, to pay off in 2 years. I would imagine such a fast turnaround and not having to wait, you know, 20, 30, or 40 years for some kind of a profit, I would imagine that's a big draw to people.
I think it is. And everybody says they've made a lot of money with us. They like the way it pays out. They like the way it works. You know, and a lot of these people have been with us a long time. You know, we have a professor from the college that's been with me a long, long time. He travels. He goes to New Mexico. He goes all these places, stays summer. He goes to all of our national parks. But he listens to us religiously every Saturday.
Cool.
And he invests regularly. I mean, I talked to him on the phone this week. And, you know, he was coming in. He had a policy that went over. He had to come in and make a premium payment. And he was talking about, you know, what he'd made with us. And over the years, he's made money and money. And he always invests with us. He's a conscientious investor. He's good at what he does, the policies he picks. He's picked some really good ones over the years. So all these people that have been with us a long time, this is the way they do it. You know, they regularly invest. When a policy comes up, they invest in another one. And I guess that's why they've been with us so long and have done so well.
When you say people invest regularly, because I know, when, you know, a lot of times when people are in Wall Street or in the stock market, you know, you're in and you're kind of in almost at like 1,000 miles an hour until you're out. And so with a life insurance policy, is there another way? Is there like less aggressive, more aggressive? How does that dynamic
change?
Well,
I think you're less aggressive because, you know, let's say a policy comes due, it matures, and everybody says, okay, I'll go back in. And then one person says, oh, I don't like that policy. I'm going to wait for another one. But most people go right back in, they purchase another policy, and we keep going. But there's always a group that says, no, I don't like that one, I'll take this one. No, I don't like that one, I'll take this one. You know, you have people that think differently. But most of our people that do it all the time, they read their life expectancies and they invest. They read their life expectancies and they invest. And they do it on a regular basis. And when money comes in, they just increase their holdings. That's the way most people do it.
Well, I know on Wall Street, you know, they can pretty much do whatever they want to, as though they think it's their money and not your money. That's completely not the case. Each policy is individual. It's separate. You let people know this is available. Do you want in? Yes, no. You want to be in the next one? You want to be in this one? It's really up to people as far as to which policies they're in. They have complete control.
They have complete control of their money, their portfolio. You know, it's always up to them. We always say, here's the policy, what do you think? Then lots of times they want to talk to me. They say, Faye, we want to talk to you about this policy. I talk to them, I go over, I tell them what I know, what I believe it to be, and then they can make a decision. And then the other day, I let everybody know I was going in that policy myself, and if you have turned it down, that's strange, I'm going in it. And several people said, if Faye's going in, it just put us in it, you know.
So they bumped you out.
If it's good enough for her, it's okay. We'll go in it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was the other day when somebody said, well, I don't like that policy. I said, then I'll just go in it myself because I like the policy. I bought the policy. So I went in, and then a lot of people jumped right in with me because they said, if she's in it, we'll go in it too. So sometimes that happens. They need the moral support of me in the policy.
Well, you know, and that's a good point, too, because, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, you do what I tell you, not what I do. But then there's another thing when you have, like, you know, it's a good sign when the chef eats his own food, you know, so that's essentially what you're doing here. You're saying, hey, look, I'm in this myself. So, you know, come in, don't come in. Doesn't matter. That's how you, I guess, personally vouch for it. That's a big deal.
Well, and the other thing that happens all the time, I'll start to go in one and they say, well, if I, you know, all these other people need in, I'll say, okay, I'll pull back and won't go in. And so lots of times I'll start to go in a policy, but so many people say yes that I'll pull back. But on that one, I did not. I stood firm. I said, no, I've already said I'm going in it, and I'm going in. So I did.
Good for
but,
you.
Yes, but and we always have a lot of people that want in policies, and if we don't hear from them, and that's something people don't realize, is Someone got mad the other day because they didn't get in a policy. But what they don't understand is when we offer a policy, it has to go to the bank by a certain time and close. So we only have, like, sometimes we only have 2 days, you know, to get the money to the bank. And if we have longer, we do. But lots of times, I just assumed everybody knew that sometimes we have a deadline. In fact, on most of them, that we have a certain length of time we have to get the money to the bank and get it escrowed and pay it for the policy. So lots of times people don't realize if they don't say yes that day, the next day I have to go on to the next person.
Yeah. Yeah,
that happens sometimes.
We don't talk about that very often, that there are other people's deadlines involved here. It's not just, you know, hey, let's get this because I'm impatient. There's other people on the line here.
That's right. And so we have to, that day, whoever says yes, we put them down. And if somebody didn't let us know, then we go on to the next three people. And so then sometimes people don't get in a policy. And I've got some clients that two brothers and the mother invest with us regularly on a regular basis. And about three policies back, I couldn't reach them. And well, one of them was in Colorado, one was in somewhere else. And I said, well, you know, we have to go on. And so they were calling back. We didn't get in that policy. We really wanted in it. What happened? We said, we couldn't find you. Mm. You know? And so sometimes people don't email us right away. And they get busy, and they say, oh, I'm going to do it later. Or they're not reading their emails.
Mm.
Sometimes people just flat aren't reading them. They're busy, and if they don't, then they miss out, you know, when we have policy available.
Yeah, they may see something in there and say, oh, I'll get to it later, and they never get to it later.
Yeah, and so then by the time they get to us, we've already closed that policy out. We're on to another one.
So if that happens, and, if somebody misses one, there's other opportunities, right? I mean, they're not kicked out.
That's right. Okay. We will get another policy, and they just have to read it and see if that's for them. If it is, the next one they need to say yes a lot quicker.
Yeah.
You know, they have to say, yes, we do want in that policy.
Yeah. And the great thing is people don't, because it sounds like this is not really anything that's, you know, super high maintenance. It's like people can be on vacation, they could be traveling, they could be out of town, they could be anywhere when they get this email, obviously, because you can get email wherever you are. So people don't necessarily have to be, you know, in town and then run down to the office and say, yes, I want in. And you can do this from, you know, remotely wherever anybody is. It's convenient.
That's exactly right. If they've got, you know, a computer with them, they can do anything. And of course, a lot of people have it on their phones.
Yeah.
But you know, we send it out to them. They can call us, they can email us, they can send a text message and say yes. But we always want it in writing from them. You know, we require that because we don't want a mix up. We want them to say yes, I want in that policy. So that way, we always keep a record that they said yes or no, whichever way it was. And we know what date they said it, and that's really important.
Yeah, that just kind of helps expedite the process to kind of get the ball rolling even faster from what it sounds like.
That's exactly right. So it doesn't take us long to close the policy. You know, then we're off on that one, and we're on to the another one. And, you know, this last week we did about $2 million in policies. So we did $1 million policy, we did two $500,000 policies, and we did a $350,000 one. So, you know, we were putting people in policies every day, you know, filling them up, getting them over to the bank.
Wow. That's a lot of stuff
going
on. It
was a lot of policies. It took a lot of people.
Wow.
You know.
All right. Well, we'll get into how many policies people should be in, how much people can make, and how long they need to do it. We'll get into some of the risks and fees here in just a little bit. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what are we talking about today?
Father's Day.
I should have guessed. I don't even know why I didn't even guess. I could have won that one.
You could have won that one for a change.
I know, right?
Said, oh, yeah, it's Father's Day.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been thinking about it, and I wrote down a list of things that men have said to me about what they would love about Father's Day.
Oh, boy.
Okay, number one on the list, sleep all day.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big one. Golf all day.
Mm-hmm.
That was a biggie.
Yeah.
Go boating with the family. Going to the lake. Most men said they love to go to the lake. If they have a boat, they love to spend the day in the boat, swimming and playing with the family. Another big one was barbecue. They all like to barbecue with the family on Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So that one seemed to be a big one. Going down the Brazos in an inner tube.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, now that to me, that's a great one. Everybody loves the Brazos. Everybody loves to go down there and enter to. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was going to Padre Island if they had the time for the weekend to go. And Padre Island's got so many things you can do. You know, you can fish, you can swim, you can go out in a boat. They have pleasure boats that'll take you out. There's just a lot of things to do at Padre Island. So a lot of people said that's one of their favorite deals to do. But pictures with the children, that was another one.
Mm.
Because, you know, the pictures get old, and they said they like to take pictures with their children to remember, you know, all the fun things they did, you know, as the kids are growing up, and now that some of them have grandchildren and children, they like to take a family picture, you know, to remember all these things.
Yeah, I know,
and
a lot
of
times.
Now, yeah.
You'll look back and you'll say, you'll look back and say, oh yeah, I remember going to that, but I forgot we did that. It's kind of neat. It jars your memory of things that you may have forgotten, the little details.
I think everybody forgets where they were every year.
Yeah.
You know, what year did we do that? Where were we at when that picture was taken?
Yeah.
and then, did you have on the same dress 3 years in a row?
Honestly, it's not something I've ever looked at or thought about, but I will now.
Yeah. Did you have on the same shirt 3 years in a row? Oh, my gosh. But people can be guilty of all those things.
Yeah.
But you know, Father's Day, people don't give it as much credit as they do Mother's Day, because mothers, you know, are so, so special. But we couldn't do without fathers. Think about all the things fathers do. They fix swings. They fix everything that goes wrong. You know, without a father, there's so many things around the house would just be broken down.
That is true.
They mow the lawn. They fix the washer or the dryer when it quits. The little plumbing things, not big ones, but little ones. The father does all that. And when the wife's car needs something done, the husband and father, he takes the car and gets it fixed for her. You know, they do so many things that people don't even think about.
Yeah, that is true. You don't even really think about it. As time goes on, you know, like in our day-to-day lives, you don't really kind of take notice or really, you know, think about it even. It's just part of just everyday life.
That's right. And when fathers have teenage daughters, they maintain their cars for them. They make sure their car runs, that it's safe for them. They check the tires for them. I know one father that told me his agreement with his daughter was from the time that she got a car until she was 30 years old, he got her oil changed for her. He did all that, and she was 30 years old. He was still taking care of her car.
Wow, cool.
He said he'd always taken care of his daughter, and he says, it's just something I do for her. You know, I maintain her car, I get her oil changed, I get it washed for her. And he said, you know, when she was a young girl, he didn't want her to let the oil go bad or run out of oil, and he did it then. But then after she graduated high school and went to college, he just kept doing it. She got married, he said, I just kept doing it. He said, and it's just something I do for my daughter.
That's really, really nice.
It's really nice. He's a great dad, and he's a great client also. And he's very well-liked in his community, I can tell you.
I'm sure.
Because he does things for other people like he does for his daughter. And so I don't know very many dads that maintain their daughter's car, change the oil, make sure the tires are okay, even after they're grown.
Yeah. Sounds like somebody with some really great character.
He has great character, and you know, a lot of people just give the kids a car and say, you're on your own.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't help them with it or teach them all the things they need to know. But that's something that a dad does. You know, they teach the son, you know, about cars. They help them with it. They usually help them pay for that first car. And so everybody forgets all the things that a dad really does that's special. He takes the boy for his first haircut.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know? And, you know, little boys, 2 and 3 year olds, are scared to death. And you take them into the barbershop that first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're there to reassure them everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
And usually it's the dad that teaches the kids to swim.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And, yeah. You know, you bring up a good point. All the teachings and the lessons and the things that people, you know, will carry on with them to not only be self-sufficient, but also, you know, any kind of information about how to, you know, because experience brings, you know, a new perspective. You know, here's some tricks, here's some shortcuts, here's some advice, you know, all those things that you're going to only get from experience. And, you know, they've all been through all these things and have a world of knowledge that they can share. And that's great, too.
That's right. And it's invaluable. And there's just some things only a dad can do, mm-hmm. You know. And especially things around the house. You know, people forget about that. There's so many things women just don't do.
Yeah.
And it's the dad that does all these things. And the dad is the one that's always first at ball games for their kids. I know a lot of dads, that means more to them than anything. You know, going to see them play basketball or football on Friday nights, that's a big deal for dads.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. It's a sense of pride. It really is.
That's right. And, you know, they like taking their son, their daughter with them. You know, they've got them in the pickup with them. Lots of times on Saturday morning, you know, they're the ones that take the kids and go do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go out
and
run the errands.
They give mom a break, and they'll take the kids and go for breakfast or something.
Give mom a break.
Yeah, give mom a break there. Oh, my gosh. But we just couldn't do without dads. I mean, they do so many neat things, and, you know, people forget, you know, they're the ones that keep the family together. They're also the one, usually, the head of the house, they make sure you're in church on Sunday.
That is true, you know? Also.
And now we don't go to church. We go to church online. You know, I never thought we'd do this. You know, we get up on Sunday morning, and we either turn the television on or we go get on the computer to watch church.
Yeah.
And we always before the family was sitting in their row, in their pew on Sunday morning.
Yeah,
well,
I know
it's always a big deal.
A lot of people, you know, prefer to go in person, and then, you know, when you can't get out, this is like not during COVID, but in regular times when people couldn't get out or whatever the case is, you know, you had church on TV and you could watch it. Well, now it's much more interactive through the screen, through your computer as well. So it's really come a long way, and they've really made some amazing advancements to maybe hopefully even reach more people than they would have before. So maybe something good will come out of it.
Well, and that's and I was watching John Hagee Ministries the other day, and I think they said there had been, and I don't want to get this wrong, I thought they said there was 100,000 people had watched that had never watched before.
Oh, wow.
I believe that's what they said, 100,000 people, because they have a way to see how many people are watching. You know, there's some way they can tell how many people worldwide, you know, are watching. And they said, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to misquote them, I thought they said 100,000 people that had never watched the show before are now watching. That's a big deal.
That is. That is huge. Wow, those are big numbers.
And so maybe something really good will come of this if more people are now watching church than were before, because more people are home on Sunday morning, so more people are going to church by either computer or on television.
And maybe it'll help some of the big meanies turn into nice people.
That's what I'm hoping. Some of those people that are so bad, maybe this will change them and turn them around.
I got a long list of people that should be watching.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I think it could help a lot of people.
Yeah,
a lot of people, like you say, those meanies, those people that really need it. They can't go anywhere now anyway, so maybe they will turn in and they will watch church, and it will do them some good. And we hope so, because there is a lot of people on Sunday morning that are preaching, that, and they've got a lot of choices. You know?
Yeah, you're sure, right about that. A lot of choices.
So they've got a lot of choices and good ones. This guy, Robert Morris, and he's right here in the Metroplex. And because I always went to church, I never had seen the guy. But they tell me that it's a mega church. It's over in Southlake. He was the one that the president visited him in his church the other day when he was in Dallas.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And I'd only seen him on television recently because of this deal, because I never had watched, you know, someone like that on television. And I saw him, and I swear I didn't know he was right here in Dallas. And at the end of it, they said, you know, in the Metroplex, I go, oh, my gosh, I didn't know the guy was here. Then the president was here last week, and that's who he went to visit, was that church.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. He's right here, just a short distance, and I didn't know it. And so I'm learning a lot about that, too.
Wow, neat. I did not know that.
And he started that church with nothing, and now it is a big, huge metro church.
That's amazing. It's cool when people take something and really build it up like that.
Yeah, because he started with nothing, and now it's thousands go to church there. So that's pretty neat, too.
Wow, that is really cool.
But fathers, on Father's Day, a good father, you can always tell what kind of a family a person has, but what kind of father leads the family.
That is true. That is really, really true. Yeah. I've never really thought about it like that, but you got a good point.
And I can always tell when children are well-mannered and all these other things, they have a good father leading them.
Yeah.
You know, the father's taught them right from wrong. Their children respectful, polite, and I know when I meet people, I can always tell if the children shake hands, if they're polite and say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It tells you about the character of the father.
It really does. It's all the kids always are a reflection of the parents.
That's exactly right.
Well, sometimes.
And if somebody is kind of a wild old boy, it sure shows.
Yeah, yeah. Although I do know of a couple of friends of mine who went a little bit off track, so we'll leave them out of the story for now.
You leave them out of the story. You can't even talk about it, huh?
No, something went really, really wrong.
Mm. Wow. Well, and this might get them back on track, you know.
I hope so. We won't name names.
We don't name names. Yeah, we don't want to get sued, but. Yeah, there's nothing better than a good father leading his family. And we should be thankful for all the fathers, good ones and the bad, and hope all the little children, you know, grow up to be great citizens because of their fathers,
yeah.
Or in spite of them, even.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Just
that's
to kind of
that's for the two, you know.
Oh, it's many more than two. I was just being
nice. Oh, no, you've got some bad friends.
I do.
Oh my gosh, your friends just went off the rail.
Oh, they're terrible.
Oh my gosh, but it also, if they went to A&M or some of our great colleges. I guarantee they're great parents because, you know, the kids that go to AM, they're straight, they're narrow, and they're great role models. I can tell you that.
That is
and,
true.
And all of our other colleges are great, but it just seems if you went to A&M, your morals are just straight on.
Yeah,
you know?
It could be a great inspiration to people.
That's right. You're a great inspiration, and you're really something to be proud of if you went to A&M. Now, people that go to University of Texas, they're a little wild. And, you know, they're not going to be just as straight and narrow as those kids from A&M, I could tell you.
You know the people I'm talking about, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know the ones you're talking about. And we've got some great kids from other colleges, but it just seems like if you went to A&M, you're straight down the line. You're conservative. You're straight on. you're going to be a responsible citizen. You're not out here, going 100 miles an hour on the freeway.
Exactly, exactly. And we need some more people like that. So tomorrow.
Yeah, and you're not skipping class, and you've got a good grade point average. And when you graduate, everybody's really proud of you, I can tell you that.
That is true. That is true. So tomorrow, everybody should get out and celebrate, make a phone call if you need to, whatever you need to do. But it is definitely worth noting all those things you talked about. So this is
That's your money, right, with
Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And I know that you were saying earlier about people getting into a bunch of policies. What exactly does that mean? How many policies should somebody plan on being in? Because we should note that a life settlement is not the kind of investment where you get into one policy and you're ready to retire. This is a strategy. This is something that happens over time. So how many policies should somebody be in, and how long should they plan on being in the program?
Well, I would think 8 to 10 years. Because you look at it this way. Okay, how much do you need to retire? Well, how much have you brought us? How much are we starting with? And in order to make this work, you've got to have quite a few policies. You can't do it with one or two. It won't work. If one or two is a great investment, sure, and you're going to make money on it. But if you're trying to get enough off of what you invest with us to retire, you're going to need several policies. I've got a lot of people that have got like 8 policies. I've got a lot of people with 20, and I've got this one person, he knows who I'm talking about, is wanting to have 30 policies. He's getting close.
Wow.
And, he said, I need 30 policies. He's made a lot of money with us.
I would guess so.
And, I've got several people, as I told you. Some of them have got $60,000 in income, and I've got the one lady that she told me that she was getting $90,000 a year in income from us. And somebody called in when I said that the other day and said, well, I'm not getting $90,000. What do I have to do?
You opened up a can of worms, didn't you?
I did. And I said, well, let's see here what we need to do. But you've got to invest regularly. You've got to keep turning your money over and getting your income. This is all about income. You've got to get this interest income coming. And that's why you've got to keep doing it over and over to get it done. But you do need a lot of policies. You need more than 6, I can tell you.
So what are the risks before we go? I know we always like to cover the risks so that people know going in what maybe could, happen.
Okay, your greatest risk is it could go over. And this happens all the time. If it goes over, you have to pay the premium. Now, I had somebody that sent a note this week and said, I'm unhappy. I've got all these premiums to pay. And I went back and looked, and he said he had 4 policies that have gone over. He's paying 1 premium. The others have no premium, and he's paying $95. Now, folks, that is nothing.
Oh, wow.
I just can't believe somebody would complain. It was $95. Maybe he didn't read it right.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't understand. But anyway, it's $95. But that's your biggest risk is the premium. It could go over, and you're going to have to pay premium. All our people are accredited. If you're accredited, it shouldn't be a problem. If it is a problem, call me and talk to me about it. Say, well, I don't understand the premium or something. Anytime you don't understand anything, you can call me or email me. You can talk to me. You can talk to Joe, our comptroller at the company. We have 2 CPAs that work for us. So, everything we do is about accounting for you. For accounting for your records. So that's just the way it is. Your biggest risk is if the premium a call, and surely it isn't very much. Usually it's less than 3%. We try to keep it always 3% or less on your premiums. That's your big risk. The second risk is it's not liquid during the time it's invested naturally. So when you have your money invested, it's not cash until it comes back out. The third one is if a life insurance company ever went under. We've never had one go under in Texas. And in the last few years, there's only been one that got in any trouble, and it was bought before anybody even knew about it. Because of the premium income, anybody would buy a life insurance company because the premiums are so great. They have hundreds of millions of dollars in premium income every year.
And it's all right there on standby.
It's on standby.
All right. I know we covered a lot of ground, and I'm sure people have some questions. I'm sure some people would like to get started. Wherever anybody is in the spectrum, they should come see you. Don't just pop in, though. You're doing Zoom meetings. You're doing phone meetings. You're doing all kinds of things, and people need to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call to come see you and get the ball rolling?
Okay. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.